Hey, this is Todd. Wanted to create a short video on prepping your hex map. So first, let me generate a quickie hex map for us to use. Apologize for the quality. I'm just going to sketch something out really quickly. Now that that's done, you can see I put a village icon in the middle of the map, or close to the middle. That's going to be where the party is going to be located for the purposes of this, call it this little mini sandbox that we're creating. So given that it's essentially the middle of nowhere, you can see I didn't put any other civilized areas around it. We're going to consider that this is some sort of outpost. The icon doesn't show it, but we're not going to suggest that it's totally unprotected. Maybe there's a small garrison there or some other kind of military presence. I'm going to say that judging by the terrain I put around it, it's right next to some hills. It's by some moving water. There are mountains out there that perhaps this is a mining type establishment. Maybe it's full of prospectors, people who have traveled into this wilderness area to see if there's any resources around, you know, in the ground that they can dig up. So it's near a river. So maybe they're looking for gold, silver, other sort of precious metals, copper, whatever they're looking for. They're going out into the hills, going out into the surrounding terrain, looking for that. And of course, braving whatever what dangers are out there, which introduces an opportunity for adventures, which is kind of what the sort of hex coin thing is all about, in a sense, is you're putting these opportunities in front of the party and you're hoping that the party has enough self-motivation to look at the opportunities before them, pick them out, and go after them. So in this case, the default for our purposes, beyond the stuff that we've put on the map, is we have this mining town. Either they start there or they journey there. I noticed I didn't put in a road, but I'm sure there's some kind of road that probably winds along the river towards the outpost. Here's this situation. We've got a small outpost, dangerous things all around. Here's your chance to pick out things to deal with. So we have our outpost, which can be the home base where the party can come back to and rest. That's relatively safe, at least much safer than the outside. With that established, I've marked down several, I would call these the major points of interest. I'm using 6 mile hexes for each one of these. I think each of those 6 mile hexes has kind of a story to tell. It may not be anything super crazy, right? It may be something minor, but I think when you enter a hex, if you explore it, there should be something in that 6 miles that's interesting that sets it off a little bit from each other hex you're in. So you have all these forest or plains or hills or mountain hexes, and there should be a little bit something special about each one of them. Something just that sets it apart. But we're not worried about that at this point. I'll use something like, you know, ready reference sheets later on to fill in some of those minor stories. Really what I'm looking for at this point is what are the major points of interest? These are the things that rumors might spread about. Maybe they're known, maybe they're unknown. These are the things that are going to show up if there is some sort of bulletin board, right? These are what's going to show up on there. These are the kind of major landmarks that probably have the most danger associated with them, but also then the highest chance of treasure, loot, whatever it is. These are those big points. So I have a few of them I put on here. I put on one. I put a cave up in the sort of mountain hill area over there. I have some ruins down by the plains. I've got a tower over in the forest. So you see, I kind of spread them around. So in each quadrant of this little map, I've got one major landmark. And, you know, now at this point, I would sit down and try to decide, well, what's going to be in each one of those? So we'll say the tower is an evil wizard's tower. We'll say that there are, say, goblins have taken over that ruins. There's trolls in the cave in the hill slash mountain area. We'll put a dragon turtle in the lake. It's not really a landmark, but it's a major kind of geographical spot. So we'll put the dragon turtle there. And let's say down in that swamp area, there's a black dragon. So right there, I have these sort of major players that are in this area. So we've got trolls, we've got goblins, we have a dragon turtle, we have a black dragon, we have an evil wizard. And this can obviously inform things that are going to happen. So when we're looking at the adventurers arrive in this village and what are the villagers talking about, what kind of things excuse me, might they have seen rumors, maybe a dragon flying overhead. Maybe somebody saw the trolls. Maybe they're just tracks of the trolls going around. Maybe the trolls have attacked somebody. Maybe someone disappeared over in the forest. The forest seems to be haunted. haunted. All these different things can all feed back into these major landmarks. When the party, if and when the party takes the bait on one of these, we have already an idea how we want to flavor these areas. So the swamps, if they go investigate the swamps, we're going to flavor the swamps with this idea that this is a black dragon's territory. This is where it's layering. If they go up in the hills towards where that troll cave is, then that's how we're going to pull and flavor that area, as in this is a troll warren. And what we think that is and how we believe that area will be, that's how we'll use it to describe it. And the same thing for the woods. If this is an evil wizard, we can go with the sort of trope of, okay, a necromancer. So what did that make the woods seem like? Is it a woods, you know, is it a forest of the dead? Is it very, you know, misty, almost, you know, Ravenloft style wood? Or maybe it's something different. Maybe it's a druid's tower. They don't all have to be evil too, right? So we could make it a nice druid's abode in an old tower, and then that flavors the woods in a different way. We have these major players that we've now installed on there, and we can use those so that when we're going through the hex map, because remember, if you've seen my other video, the hex map just gives you an overview. It's not drilling down into the moment by moment telling you what's going to be there. So we need to be able to take the stuff that we're establishing now, take all this information we're coming up with, so that when we have to improvise, when the party goes into one of these areas, we need to think about what are the factors that are affecting this place. So if they go into the woods, and we've said that there's a druid here, what does that mean for us? I would think that, say with the druid, that maybe this forest is protected. So it seems particularly lush and green. Think in a Fellowship of the Ring when they go to see Galadriel, the way that kind of wood is, and the sort of creatures that are there, maybe that's what they see when they go in the woods. Conversely, if they go to the troll warrens, maybe it's particularly barren and beaten down and bones and things just kind of left out to rot. That's the kind of atmosphere that will come up. So that's a helpful tool for me as a GM, that I have these concepts I can draw on, so that when they go into an area, I'm just not looking at a blank hill hex and I have to think about what's here. It's, I can draw upon this flavor because I know the players that are in place around there, the sort of apex predator types, or the apex being types of these areas. So we've got that established. Beyond that, we have some areas that we don't have anything about. We didn't really put anything in the grasslands, and we didn't put anything in the hills proper. And in these other areas, other beings probably exist. Obviously, in the forest, all manner of creatures probably be there. We haven't thought about what might be in the swamps beyond the black dragon, and we also haven't thought about what else might be in the hills or mountains. What we're going to do is we're going to create or draw up or use, if you find them already, sort of encounter tables. Again, Ready Reference Sheets has you there, I think, for some of it. Others of it you can draw up yourselves. I think various DMGs, and depending on what edition, different books have for you. Just, we're going to write down the table of what kind of things we find in a given hex. So for grasslands, we can talk about, use whatever dice you like, 1 through 6. Okay, 1, it's just, we're going to find, you know, prairie dogs, and maybe some antelope, and maybe some horses. I don't know, what else? Wild pigs. I'm not, you know, I really haven't even thought about what's in the grasslands. It's probably all over the map. But the point is, it doesn't really matter so much as you make that list. And that list, if you're using random encounters and in hex maps, hex crawling, you kind of have to. Again, because you're going to be improvising so much content on the fly, you're going to want to have these resources to draw on to pull in content for you. But beyond being just a source of random encounters, what those tables are going to help you do is, again, flavor the place. So if I know that there are prairie dogs and antelope and, let's say, wild dogs and horses that are in the grasslands, that when they move into the grasslands, that's what they'll find traces of. If they have someone who says, I want to find tracks on the ground, then we can just look at our list and say, okay, here are the things that are there. Bang, bang, bang. And so again, it's that having that inspiration for generating content. Because a lot of what you're doing when you're running a hex crawl, you're going to have to improvise. The hex map is one tool to help you improvise on a high level. And then things like random encounter tables are going to help you improvise on a more detailed level. And they work together because you can reference them not only to generate specific encounters, help you generate content for a given place. So, you know, you use your hex map, you draw it up, you look at it and say, okay, I have all these grasslands. What lives in the grasslands? And we think about that. And you can see here that even though this is just a small area that we're looking at, there are probably 7 or 8 different habitats here. We have mountains, hills, plains, rivers, swamps, forest, and a lake. So 7 habitats to fill. There's a lot going on. Even though it doesn't seem like a lot, there's a lot. So we've already talked about the apex adversaries. I've mentioned these are 6-mile hexes. So generally speaking, that would mean that for them to move from, you know, I would say that in a day's travel over, say, the grasslands, something that's relatively clear, they could move 2 hexes if they spent all day traveling. The hills, I would probably say 1 hex, and maybe the mountains, I would even say 0.5 hex. And for the forest, I might throw it in between, and the swamps would probably, like the mountains, 0.5 hex, unless they had, you know, pole boats or barges that they could kind of push through there. But you have to remember, you can't take too much for granted in terms of saying that, okay, I've made this area and it's going to take them to get out of this area that I've defined. It's 4 or 5 a week's travel in any direction, so I'm set. Because that game time can fly by. So in a real hex map, I would have, if I was really doing this for play, I would probably define a lot more area, because if I don't roll random encounters and nothing's happening, I'm not going to intentionally slow down the party because they're running out of my content area. So I'm going to want to define a much larger area than I might need, but you're hoping that the idea of the sort of group conceit and a hex crawl is that you're going to be fishing for these areas of opportunity and go check them out. So ideally, they're here in the village, try to investigate what's going on around there. They're going to hear about the caves, they're going to hear about the tower, they're going to hear about the ruins, they're going to hear about these things, and that's where they're going to head off to discover. And if you get in a situation where your party is really just not embracing any of this stuff, then at that point, it's time to sit down with them outside the game and then refocus on what kind of game you're playing. Because it's really hard to run a hex crawl if they're just going to keep moving, traveling around the world, not stopping to check anything out, then hex crawl is probably not the game for them to begin with. The whole point of the hex crawl is that you have a party that sort of is able to be self-motivated, but they're going to find things around to motivate them. And what you're doing with your hex map is you are hopefully placing enough points of interest and of different kinds. You know, we have, I think, the ruins and the wizard's tower and the caves, and then you have the swamps and maybe the lake is just part of geographical. They're all fairly different. So they might be interested in one over. You might have the player of the magic user who is obviously maybe intensely interested in the wizard's tower. Maybe you have somebody else that wants to go into the caves, the ruins, but hopefully they each appeal to different ideas or different areas so that they're not all the same. It's not, well, here are five dungeons, but if nobody wants to go into the dungeon, then what difference does five dungeons make? Whereas here we have a few different areas. If maybe the tower is more appealing for whatever reason than the caves, maybe the caves are more appealing. Or maybe they want to check out the ruins. And of course, this is before you layer in, which I haven't done yet, is any kind of history or fiction on top of it. There might be stories about those ruins. We haven't given them a name or anything yet. Same with the tower. Same thing with the caves. Looking at the end of this, we've got this area of hexes built. We're hoping that the party's going to stick there and explore it. We've got potentially different kind of apex enemies that we could throw out there, and not just for them to see directly, but also just for color. They can be moving anywhere and they might see the black dragon flying overhead. Maybe they're messing around and they find troll tracks. Maybe they find evidence of a ritual space somewhere in the woods, even though they haven't even come across the wizard's tower yet, right? You have all these things you can do. Maybe they start seeing goblin incursions out of the grasslands that are attacking the town or attacking people out there, whatever they're doing. So you have these sort of apex adversaries, potential adversaries. And again, they don't have to be bad. Maybe the dragon turtle is good, or I could put a different dragon, maybe a silver dragon up there instead. That's a good aligned dragon. Again, I said, maybe the wizard's tower is really a druid. And that's another way to play it. In a sense, they're those factions. So we've set up these factions that are in conflict. There's tension there. Players are kind of in the middle of all those tensions, and then they get to see how those tensions affect party, and then how the party affects the tensions and the world, and then back and forth. So we've got all this going on in our little hex map. So then on game day, you drop them in the village. You give them that sort of overview of what's going on. You know, if they've been there before, they'll have the sort of lay of the land. And then hopefully you're ready so that whichever direction they go, whatever they decide to go out and explore, you have enough information from the hex map and then these other resources that we've defined using the hex map, the random encounters, the sort of flora and fauna of these different habitats, the using something ready reference sheets to put interesting things in all these different hexes. When they go out there, you'll be ready to rock and roll and game on. So hopefully it was useful to you, and I will talk to you later.